Thanks, guys. Good deal. Wow. Well, let's jump right into something. We're going to do for sure two things tonight, probably three. Don't get scared about that. I'm going to jump right straight into something. And, you know, sometimes you can ask Jesus if you can do something because it's on your heart and he's okay with it because it's his heart too. And there's other things that he instructs you to do. You follow me? So one of them I felt like I wanted to do, and he didn't say no, so that means yes. It's a yes and amen gospel. So many times you're looking for a yes, and your own sometimes apprehensions you think are a no. It's like, should I go pray for them? Well, I'm not so sure. You already have a yes. Go ye therefore. Just go. Like, should I pray for them? Yeah. But here's what I want to do. I teach on redemption a lot, and it's brought back to original value. I'm going to be short and sweet with this tonight because I want to do two things and we need a little time. And we're going to pray for a bunch of folks tonight because I just believe God wants us just so free and so filled with him and so empowered so that this weekend can so be our lifestyle. And Todd hit it so, so, so hard that when you leave here, there's just no looking back. You know what I mean? Like, seriously, like, no looking back. So we're gonna talk about redemption. I'm gonna preach something out of my heart. I'm gonna call some of you up here. We're gonna pray. When I do that, I want to ask you, please. I know there's a lot of impartation teaching out there, and people think, man, if you have an altar call and the guy might lay hands on people or pray for people, we're all gonna get in on it. I don't want you to do that tonight. I want you to respect the time and the purpose. I was just in a church and I had an altar call for something and everybody in the church came up. And I said, now listen, guys. So actually, I didn't even realize what they were doing. They were coming up as if they were saying this thing was me and my situation. It had nothing to do with the situation. They were just hoping I went by and touched them. And I said, stop it. There's a grace on what I preach. The anointing has a target. If you set up the target, the anointing can destroy the yoke. And lift the burden, right? So it's not about just getting touched. There's purpose in things God does. So tonight I'm asking you to respect that. If you fit the description of what we're talking about, that's the only people I want to respond. And if you fit that description, please respond. It would be just be so not cool if I preach this thing and you just stay sitting in your seat and come up with some reason for doing that. Okay? You guys ready? All right. And the next thing we're going to do is talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Who would be interested in that? Who would say that's a good topic? The Lord just spoke that to me coming down the back hall. He said, I want you to teach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and pray for people to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, okay. So he instructed me to do that. I said, what about redemption? He didn't say no, so that's a yes. I'll tell you why, because I love redemption. I love to see people brought back to original value. Who knows that we get born again and there's mistakes we've made along the way? Who knows that people still bump into the mistakes they've made? Who knows that sometimes they're still reaping a price for something they did, even though it's no longer in their heart, their desire, or their life? You following me? Who knows you could put a dirty needle in your arm and be in a state of darkness and not know what you're doing and do it again and again. And next thing you know, you got hepatitis in your blood. And then 10 years goes by. And next thing you know, you get touched by Jesus and radically saved. And you get told you can get born again. And you do. And yay. And you're excited and you love God. But hepatitis is still in your blood because of what you did then. Who knows that happens? And then people say, well, brother, you reap what you sow. You shouldn't have did that dirty needle. It's good he forgave you and loved you. Well, I'm into preaching that we reap what he sowed. And he sowed new life. And anybody that's in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, that's the power of God. Behold, all things become new. Then I bet he's talking about their blood too. Yes. So if God sees you through the blood, and we preached it yesterday afternoon, if He cleansed you of all sin, forgave you of all sin, and cleansed you of all unrighteousness, then where's a platform for hepatitis if God sees you as if you've never put a dirty needle in your arm? You're a new creation. So if God will never judge you for where you've been, then why is where you've been still judging you? It's called redemption. It's called brought back, bought back to original value as if you've never sinned. He makes. Who saw the movie The Passion? Who remembers him being so beaten and he could barely see and talk, and he said, "See, Mother, I make all things new. I make all things new." I don't think he said "Mother." He said, "See, I make all things new." And you just sit there and cry because you understand that the blood of Jesus was shed to forgive the act of sin committed. The body of Jesus was given to remove the penalties that were incurred. So you eat the flesh and you drink the blood and receive life. Yeah? So people say, "Well, I knew better. Well, I shouldn't have been there. Well, I shouldn't have did that. Well, I..." Well, you say you knew better, but you sure know better now. You think you should have knew better, but I'll tell you what. I remember Jesus hanging on the cross, and guess what came out of his mouth? "Forgive them, Father. They know not what..." Man, it looked like they knew what they were doing. Secret meetings behind the scenes, scheming with Judas, coming up with 30 pieces of silver as a deal. It seemed like they knew what they were doing. But did they really know? So here's the deal. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Just quoting scripture. You can turn to Romans 5 real quick, and then we're going to pray for people. I'm moving along. I'll do this as quick as I've ever done it. I think you already got the message. I've already preached enough for that grace to be in this room. And I'm telling you, Jesus means business. And he loves making people free and clean and redeemed. And he loves to take away guilt and condemnation and shame. And see, here's the deal. So your health is going, and the hepatitis is doing something bad to your liver, but you're born again, you're serving a ministry, you're finally ready to live for his great name. Got the picture? And yet, your years are cut off because of something you did before you were saved. That doesn't sound like Jesus at all to me. That sounds like a lie. We got a lady, when I was pastoring in our church, who was on the liver transplant list, and her liver was sticking out, swelled. She's finally ready to be a mother. She's not on heroin. She's not a prostitute. She's a woman of God. I promise you, when she stands before God, he will never mention the days of prostitution and drug addiction. He will see her from the blood forward. And he will only see her as his daughter. And he will never mention that day before the cross, when she received the cross and the finished work. And she heard me preaching this and got in her car heading to an appointment, because they were monitoring her every day practically, because she was at the place where it was about finished. And she sat in her car and she said, "Wait a minute." She threw a fit. "Wait a minute." Ding, ding, ding. The lights came on. She said, "I can't have hepatitis. It can't be possible. I'm not a drug addict. I am not a prostitute. I'm not a user. I'm a woman of God." And she said, "There is no way." And she's freaking out in the car, letting this revelation ravage her heart. And she's expressing it out of her mouth, she told me, aggressively. But she drove to her appointment in this tangent of truth. I'll just get to the punchline. It was such a radical freedom and healing and wholeness that this is the truth. They took her out of the medical history and charts of a hepatitis patient because there's no markers, no evidence, no nothing. And it's so confusing, they said it'll be easier to just pull you out of the file. Guess what that's called? Redemption. It's called mercy triumphing over justice, judgment. She deserved something that she didn't receive because he paid a higher price. And he gave her what he accomplished, new life. New life through Jesus Christ. We had another man on the liver transplant list, and he would do work on the church. I just ran into him at a convenience store, and he just ran up and held me. And he was so emotional. He said, "Man, I haven't seen you. How are you?" And I said, "Man, how are you?" He began to tell me, and he actually was talking in the Lord. This guy was tough, man. I mean, he went to jail a couple times for just popping cops. He just poof, and just figure, "Oh, well, it felt good. I'll do a little time." You know, I just... But he'd come and we'd let him do work at the church because we wanted him around the church. He'd play heavy metal, headbanging, I mean, not good stuff. Like the lyrics weren't cool and right in our sanctuary while he was working. Well, that just freaked some of our people out. And I'm like, you better get over religion and start loving this man and believing for him. And not, I don't think Holy Spirit's going, "Oh, he's defiling the sanctuary." I think he's saying, "Get him, Dan. Sick him, boy. Love him." Yeah. So he liked me. He actually liked me. He didn't like Christians at all. He used to tell me, "Christians are hypocrites, da-da-da-da-da." He even named names of people I knew and shared his grievances. I'm not saying he was right. A lot of times that's an excuse. But he liked me. And I knew it. And I knew he saw me different. And he could tell I was sincere. He could tell I was what I talked about. And he could see that I genuinely cared for him. And I used to always say, "Let me pray for you, man. Let me pray for you." He says, "No, man. No, man. You ain't praying for me. I don't believe in God. Don't you get it? Doesn't matter. I do. Let me pray for you." He's like, "No, man. Get away from me." So I started stretching the boundary a little of what we were growing in. And like he'd be in working and painting and I'd slip up behind him and I'd wrap my arms around him from behind. And I'd say, "Hey, good morning, buddy." And he'd say, "Oh, get off of me, man. Knock it off." But I could tell he was having fun with it. There was something about it he was enjoying, even though he was semi like, "What is wrong with you?" But he wasn't weirded out. He was like, "Oh, that's not where I'm from. We don't like ever do that. You don't hug a guy from behind and lay your head on the middle of his back, right?" So after about 3 or 4 sneak attacks, he was like, "Would you quit that? What are you doing?" I said, "You don't even know what I'm doing, do you?" He said, "You won't let me pray for you, so every time I wrap my hand around you, I get my hand on your liver. And I'm believing God for you." He said, "Get out of here, man." You know, I said, "No, man, I am. Jesus is coming to rock things, man. He loves you, dude." And he's like, "Ah!" So one day we had this incredible talk, and I saw him get emotional. And I went after it. And he really was breaking. And I said, "Listen, man, stop." And he left me hugging. It was amazing. And I said, "Listen." I said, "I do a healing service tonight. It's open to the public, man. I said, just come sit down and listen." He said, "I never went to church, never go to church. I don't go to church. I'm not asking you to come to church. I'm just saying come to the healing service and hear my heart." He said, "Oh, man." Who shows up that night? He comes. He sits, listens to the whole thing, and he's got tears in his eyes. And at the end, I said, "Come on, man, we're going to pray." He said, "There ain't no way I can let you pray for me." I said, "Why?" He said, "What you're asking God to do for me, it's just too much. It's too good. I don't deserve it. I've been so terrible." And all of a sudden, see that, I know it was condemnation, but it was a change in his heart where he was actually taking account for his life. Before he was totally justified. People earned it. They deserved it. Well, the cop shouldn't have spoke to me like that. Bam. Right? Now he's going, "My life's been wretched, man. What you're talking about is beyond, beyond. There's no way I could let you pray for me and believe what you're asking. I so don't deserve it." And I laughed. I said, "That's the whole point. That's what makes God amazing. His mercy's beyond that." And I encouraged him. He said, "There ain't no way I can't let you pray for me." And he just sat there and wept. And I said, "Man, we're going to..." He said, "Listen, no. I wasn't going to violate that." So I said, "Okay. Well, I'm glad you came." I said, "I'll tell you what. I said, these are my helpers.
We're going to hold hands right now over here. We're not going to violate you and lay hands on you. We're just going to go over and pray for you. This guy is breaking out from liver dysfunction and he's on a transplant list. And if you don't get a liver, right? Next Wednesday, I'm preaching my healing service. I look up, he comes in and comes straight down and sits right about where you guys are. Right in the front. And he looks worked up. He's like, he just looks worked, shook up. And I'm in the middle of preaching and I'm so aware of his disposition, I just stopped. And I said, man, are you okay? What's going on? Are you all right? He's trembling. He says, I just came from the clinic. They check my numbers every Wednesday afternoon and like they're scratching their head. They're saying my liver's working. My enzymes, they can't find half, man. Dude, they can't find half. And I said, so what are you saying? What are you telling me? He said, I've been touched. Ow! I could stand here and not be presumptuous and tell you 100 of them. Real people, names if I wanted to name them. Why? Because I believe what I'm telling you tonight. The blood of Jesus makes things new. The body of Jesus takes away the penalty incurred. I've watched girls that were cutters, everything disappear. I just saw a heroin addict in New York. Everything disappeared. Every track, the 100 check marks that she put on with a razor blade checking on the days of doom. I was in the mid states, and I share this one a lot just because it's sweet to me. This girl was 17. She vowed purity to the Lord. She was a Christian. She slept with the boy she was sure she was going to marry. She figured, oh, well, we're going to get married and it feels right. Let's just go for it. Trouble is, they broke up after that. Things felt strange, stress, different. They never stayed together. And she starts popping out with warts. And she goes, ah. She runs to the doctor. By the time she gets to the doctor, she's profusely covered. 3 different specialists because the first one referred her and the next one referred her because they couldn't. So profusely covered, 24/7, they didn't come and go. They just sat there, profusely, vaginal warts, a 17-year-old, completely covered. And they said, we have never seen anything so extreme. There's no mercy in that realm. Satan lures and entices and draws. And then people go in there and he goes, bam! And tries to make you pay for the rest of your life. It's so unfair because there's other people that live in that realm all the time and don't seem to get the bam. There's other people that just step in there for a moment and bam. It's on purpose. He loves that. He wants that person that I talked to a lady. She's never committed a sexual sin. You don't have to believe it, but she never did in her life. She had the same husband for 30 years. She never slept with another man in her entire life. The only one she ever knew was her husband intimately. The world says that's boring. I say that's holy. But when they're in their 50s, he gets antsy and he runs off with the girl 15 years younger. It's a sad thing. It's a man that's lost his identity. It's a man that's lost track of purpose and destiny. It's a man that's just fueling his failing flesh. She gets broken, loses her womanhood, gets insecure, lets what her husband did decide who she is or value. Man comes strolling by and tells her things she needs to hear. And before you know it, she's in bed with the guy. One man outside her husband in her whole life, 30 seconds. She's with this man and goes, what am I doing? This is so wrong. She gets the thing to stop, grabs her clothes, runs and cries the whole way home. Body starts breaking out and things. She has incurable herpes. It's in her nervous system. One sexual sin in her whole life. In a time of emotional duress when her husband left her after 34 years of marriage. It's not fair. But there's no mercy in that realm. Guess what Jesus did for her? She came up to me in a service crying, and she said, I'm not that kind of girl. I'm not that kind of girl. And she's crying. I'm like, oh, stop. I can see you're not that kind of girl. Stop. You know what she's saying. And she had to tell me her whole story and get me all caught up and emotional and ah. I just said, everybody, look, it's none of my business what's going on, what you did, where you've been, and what you've got. It's my business that you go clean and free. So I said, you don't have to tell me nothing. We're just going to pray. And it wasn't a huge congregation, so I was able to go down one by one and just redeem, redeem, redeem. And I get to her, and she says, I'm not that kind of girl. So she tells me the whole story in my ear. Now my heart's going, ah. So we pray. I keep on moving down the line. I just told her, that's coming out of you. I told her, there ain't nothing nobody can do about it. It's too late. And you say, that's arrogant. Well, the herpes didn't think so. So 6 weeks later, I meet up with her. She's gleaming, bouncing, hopping, yay. Guess what? Guess what? I said, what? I've had 3 tests in the last 6 weeks, and everyone's negative, and there's no herpes in my blood. I said, do you know why? She said, yeah, because God is merciful. He's loving. He's so kind. And who knows, she was right. I said, honey, that's not the answer I was looking for. What you just said God is needs a place to land in your life. Let me tell you why the herpes is gone. I tipped her chin. I said, because you're not that kind of girl. Mercy meets repentance. Meets repentance. When you say, wow, now that I know what I know, if I knew now, I wouldn't have done that then. If I knew what I know now, I wouldn't have done that then. Then guess what that means? You're not the person then. You're changed. Can you ever go back and redo something? But can you become different? So will God see you for what you've become or what you did? So this girl's 17. We haven't forgotten about her. She's covered with genital warts. We can't leave her there. That's why I'm coming back to the story. We can't leave her there. Now watch this. I'm in their church preaching this, and I'm 17 years later. For 17 years, this girl loves Jesus. But who knows there's this. I said, Lord, why do I make this a separate article? Why doesn't Jesus fit with healing? He said, because people can't get over their own responsibilities. They feel condemned. They feel like they've earned the thing. They feel like I've brought it upon myself and I have to live with it because I did it. Preachers will tell you that if you're not careful. They'll say, well, shouldn't have went there. Just turn it into a testimony. I mean, turn it into a testimony. That would be a good thing, but wonder if God just takes it away. Here's the real truth. 17 years goes by, guess what? Never one day was she not covered for 17 years. So that boy she was with at age 17, that was the last boy she was ever with in a relationship, boyfriend or anything. She just submitted herself to the Lord and made him her husband and decided, I'm not going to bring a man into this and expect him to understand and jump this hurdle. I'm embarrassed, it's gross, and I'll just stay single. She's 34 now, but she would love to be married and love to be a mother. And one sin at 17 bit her and took 17 years of hope and dream and all that stuff out of her life. Do you see how wretched that is? You know what she did that night? She came up to the altar. We prayed, went on down through. That was a big church. It was a little challenging. It was probably this size. It was bigger than this. Yeah, it was probably 3,000 folks. It was a lot bigger than this. It was a big church. But we prayed over everybody. She goes home. She's opening the door in the threshold of her front door. And the Spirit of God comes upon her. And he says, hey, don't be afraid to look at what I've done to your body. She started crying, ran in the house, checked herself. There's not one single wart on her body. She laid on her bed and cried and cried and cried and cried. She woke up at daybreak early in the morning, drifted off to sleep, woke up. You know, you're thinking, was this a dream? She checks her body at daybreak in the morning, wee hours of the morning. Not one single word. She comes to church trembling and shaking and crying and pulls Pastor, his wife, and me in an office and tells us the whole story. And then she looks at me and says, who knows? Perhaps now God would connect me with a real man of God and we could have a family. I'm like, who knows? Isn't that awesome? So Romans 5 says this. Verse 6, for when we were without strength in due time, Christ died. Romans 5, verse 6, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God, he demonstrated his own love toward us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more, having been now justified. You know what justified means? Just as if you've never sinned. If you're justified by a court, is it on your record? Is it in your history? Woohoo! You've been justified by his blood. We much more than having been justified, deemed, recognized as if you've never sinned by his blood, we shall be saved, sozoed, healed, delivered, protected, preserved, made whole, and kept safe and sound from wrath through him. That thing that wants to cause you to reap, that's outside of justice and God's judgment, righteous judgment, is the thing he saves you from. So you say, well, yeah, but I brought it upon myself. Yeah, but he took it upon himself. And he died as you, so you can live as him in the earth. Are you guys with me? So if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Man, if you guys in the sound booth can help me, and I think you got like Jeremiah playing a piano. That would be amazing if he's not even standing here. And all of a sudden, wasn't he awesome? These guys were amazing. I love Jeremiah. It's been a while since I've seen him. But here's what I need to do, and we're going to move along with this because I need to teach on the Holy Spirit for a little bit, and we're going to pray for the rest of the folks. And listen, man, if you hurt yourself through past decisions, if you lived in a season of darkness, deception, you might have lived 20 years in deception, and you're paying a price in your physical body. You're paying a price in your memory. You just got mad one night, and you went out and you binged, and you went beyond what you've ever went. You just went full-blown and binged, man. You got drunker than you've ever been. You popped something with that, and your concentration or your memory's never been the same since, and you mark it. You relate it to that night, and you know that you went there and did that, and you're paying a price physically for that to this day. You got something in your blood that shouldn't be there. You got something in your blood that's hurting you, and it's all because of a choice you made or a decision. You could be in a marriage and your spouse could be under this situation, and now this thing got into your marriage and now both of you have this thing. Man, if that's the case, you need to come up here tonight and be washed in the mercy and the blood of Jesus, I'm telling you. But if you're in this room and you're carrying one mark from yesterday's errors, if you're a young lady and you were just trying to find love and you got burned in that thing and all of a sudden you got an STD in you and you're like, oh, and it's horrified you and you're crying and you're like, man, I can't believe this happened to me. But you're sorry. And if you could go back and do it over, now that you see what you see, you would. That's a no-brainer. Then you need to come down here because Jesus wants to touch you and take that thing out of your body. So if you've marked yourself and you've got anything in your body from yesterday's mistakes, listen, everybody in this room has fallen short. Every person in this room has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There's people in this room that deserve marks that never got one. I tell you what, I could have a mark, but I never got one. There's other people that did things and got a mark. And sometimes they say it's incurable. Sometimes they say it'll never leave. Who will be humble and join these two men and come down and say, man, I brought this thing upon myself, but Jesus will take it out of me because I believe he loves me. See, you don't want that thing condemning you. You don't want that thing tracking you. You don't want that thing going through your life with you. Because all it does is tries to remind you. It tries to bring you back to that day. Some of you, you'll feel tears when you come up here. You'll feel like you just need to cry. Let it be a healthy cry. Let it be a cry of godly sorrow, not a cry of shame. Man, ain't nobody trying to figure out what's going on with you. We're just proud of you, and we're glad you're here because you're a believer now. And you're saying, I believe He makes all things new. Come on. He's bigger than the things we've done. He's bigger than the places we've been. Come on, get up here. I need you here. I need whoever else needs to come. Don't you let the person sitting beside you keep you from coming up for this altar call. Don't you say, I don't know what they're going to think. I don't know they're going to wonder what's going on. It's nobody's business. It's just that you leave here free. The Bible says that you be spirit, soul, and body blameless till He comes. Spirit, soul, and body blameless till He comes. Isn't that awesome? They're good tears. No, they're good tears, man. They're tears of redemption. They're tears of godly sorrow. There's tears that you can cry that are healthy. There's tears you can cry that are unhealthy. And here's the time to cry right now if you feel like you got to cry. And here's why you cry. Wow, God, no matter what, You've loved me. You haven't judged me. You haven't forgotten me. You haven't given up on me. Wow, You surely are my Father. Now, I need everybody to look, and I'm going to pray over you guys. Look at me right now. I need everybody to look. I can't make eye contact with all of you, but I need you to make eye contact with me. I need to ask you one question. If you could go back and change some things you've done, some places you've been, knowing what you know now, would you go back and do some things different? Would you? Well, then I have good news for you. I'm not talking to the person we're talking about. I'm talking to somebody that's changing and being changed. And tonight we're going to let mercy triumph over judgment. Honey, honey, come around here. I feel drawn to everybody, but I need you to come around here. Please. This is true. This word that I'm preaching, honey, it's true. There's more than hope for you. It's not too late, and you haven't gone too far. Jesus makes things new. Holy Spirit, come and love her. That's right. Wash her clean. That's right. Thank you. And even as you touch her body, restore her mind, her emotions. God, I thank you for clarity again in her life. I thank you take away the fog. I thank you take away the confusion. God, I thank you never let her live another day of shame that you yourself swallowed up. Did you not just call her out of a crowd? Did you not just say, hey, I want to love on her right now? Father, thank you for doing it. Thank you for making all things new. God, as if she's never sinned or missed the mark a day in her life. Be cleansed and made whole. Ah, give me a big hug, please. I hear the Lord say, don't you be afraid to hope and don't you be afraid to believe. There's destiny in front of you. And no longer will you feel paralyzed emotionally. And no longer will you feel bound in your soul. For tonight is a night of freedom. Did you not come down and walk down this aisle and look to me? Did you not walk down this aisle and look to me? You surely did, and I saw you. And I make all things new. I need a lady from Lifestyle Christianity, maybe a young lady, just to come up here and hold her quick and pull her aside and just hold her. Just hug her. Lifestyle Christianity, lady, quick. Thank you. Okay, you guys ready? Now look, I don't have to call you out of a crowd. I just couldn't get, it just happens. That's the Lord. He knows when somebody needs something, right? But we don't always need that. We just need to be sincere and know that when we answered that question, that if I could go back and change it, I would. Now that I know what I know. And I'll bet you that's enough. And I'll bet you He makes the difference. I bet he's a father to us. And I bet we're his people. Lift your hearts to him right now. And believe he loves you. And out of your mouth whisper this. Father, I believe you love me. I believe you forgive me of everything I've ever done. And if you made me a new creation, then all things are new. My spirit, my soul, and my body. Thanks for changing things. Thanks for loving me. Thanks for making things right. I'll never be the same. Take away every mark. Take away every stain. I believe it. Because you love me. In Jesus' name. Please lift your hands really high to him right now. Father, I thank you for the redemption of the cross. I thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ. I thank you that you shed your blood to remove the act of sin, God, and you gave your body to remove the penalty incurred. I pray and believe over this room of people, God, that had the faith to come up here in humility, that they will not walk out of these doors with the thing that they came up here concerned of, that concerned them. God, I thank you. You have changed it, and you have brought new life through Jesus Christ. So I rejoice in the redemption of the cross. I rejoice in your great love for people. And Holy Spirit, it is you that is moving effectively in everyone now. That young man said, it is not about Dan Muller. It is not about Todd White. It is not about me. And I couldn't agree more. Because no man is anything and has nothing unless it's have been so good. So I thank you. It's because of who you are that these people are restored. All things new. Redeemed in Jesus' name. Now thank him for it and believe it right now. Thank him for it. Thank him for it. Yeah? Just hug somebody real close to you and just say, it's all good, man. God is doing a good thing. Just believe. And then I want you to make your way back to your seats. Come on, give God a shout. That's believe God together. Go ahead, grab your seats if you can find them. We're going to move along and we're going to do some more things here quick. God, you're good. It's good, healthy tears. I saw a lot of good, healthy tears up here. I'll tell you, it makes you cry when you know you've done things and seen, but God doesn't see you for that. It's humbling. It's not the reprimand of God that brings a man to change. It's the goodness of God. People say, well, yeah, but there's a judgment. There's a stop. Listen, know ye not, the goodness of God leads men to repentance. It doesn't say the reprimand of God leads men to change. The goodness of God captures my heart. The reason I am the way I am, I believe what I preach. And it melts my heart. He's amazing. He loves me. I am a man standing here not receiving one thing that I deserve. I've received his kingdom because of his grace. Now, how cool is that, guys? Yeah. Okay, I don't know what this will look like. Thank you, sound guys. You guys have been so patient with me. I get them to last minute put things on the board and a little bit of song track. Thanks for that. That was sweet. I felt like Jeremiah was right with me here. Talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit a minute, okay? Let me see a raise of hands quick. I'll block my eyes so I can see you, but just be honest. Don't raise your hand if it doesn't fit. But how many in this room you'd say you've heard controversial teaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit? You yourself have maybe struggled in some what about it because of different things you've heard and the way things have been taught and presented. You've heard some things that yes, you heard some things no, and you've just been kind of in limbo, but it would be helpful and you would love to hear the thoughts on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Let me see your hands. Wow, that is an incredible amount of people. No wonder I heard that in the hallway, huh? There was some folks in the up in the room, and Tom said, "We're going to come over. We're going to lay hands on people with the Holy Spirit." And I felt like I needed to just come down here. I said, "Man, go do it, guys. That's awesome." And William, he's been walking me around, and just, "You're so good, man." And I said, "Listen, I can make it down there. You go get in on that. It will bless my heart." He said, "Okay." And he went in and got in on that. But I was just in Mississippi, and there was four ladies that came from a Baptist church. And I'm not saying that to mark a Baptist denomination. They're actually a very live, moving forward, awesome Baptist church. But they had mixed understanding on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they came up at the end of the service in a little circle and asked about that. So we did a little thing and talked and shared, and they cried and said, "That is so crystal clear. Oh my goodness." I said, "Isn't that awesome? So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word. You guys like want to receive Holy Spirit?" And they're like, "Yeah." And he just came. It was just fun. He'll just come. Like, he's excited to come. So it's just good. All right, you guys ready? Okay, in John chapter 4, you can scroll there quick. I'm going to move. I'm going to save some time. But at the same time, I want you to see some things. Verse 10, he's talking to the woman of Samaria. This all happened on the day Jesus was tired. I just love it, man. Jesus was tired on this day. He stayed by the well. He was weary from the journey. This is just funny. But he gets talking to this lady. She's perplexed. He's a Jew. She's a Samaritan. Verse 10, Jesus said, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him." So ask and it shall be. Didn't matter that she was a Samaritan. You would have asked him and he would have given you living water. She goes on and talks about this. "Sir, you don't even have the wells deep. You don't have none to draw, da, da, da." Right? He says, "Whoever," verse 13, "drinks this water," the well water, "it's going to thirst again." He's talking about natural thirst, but he's talking about spiritual fulfillment in this next part. "But whoever drinks the water that I shall give him will never thirst again." Do you see how scripture it is? Scripture it is to teach that Jesus is your identity, that he's your fullness, he's your security. He's the one that makes you complete. Look, when you're thirsty in your soul, when you're thirsty in your spirit, it's because you're not settled, not satisfied, not convinced, and not fulfilled. But to know the love of Christ, Ephesians 3, which passes knowledge, is to be filled with all the fullness of God. So you study the word fullness out, and here's what it means. To know the love of Christ is to be filled with all the fullness of God. The word fullness means a house with no empty rooms. It means a town with no empty houses. It means a ship so full of cargo there's no space to put another box. That can be your life through understanding who you are in him. Where you're never driven by a vacuum and emptiness. You never have to feed anything because you're already filled. Whoever, that means everybody's invited to take a drink. "Whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst again." Watch this. "But the water that I shall give him will become in him." Boom. "A fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." What's he talking about? He's talking about getting born again, getting your spirit recreated. He's talking about you receiving the life of Christ on the inside as a seal for that day of redemption. You become a wheat and not a tear. You become a keeper fish, not a throwback. Yeah? You just go straight in the live well, baby. It's just awesome. You know, you get measured and you're measured up and they keep you, you know? So look at John 7 real quick, and then I'm going to just touch a couple of things. I'm going to run through this in a simple Bible teaching that's going to answer questions. It's going to release faith, and then we're going to ask Holy Spirit to come. Fair enough? Okay. Look at verse 37 of John 7. "On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out." Man, It must have been important if he made a scene like that. He just stood up. See, I see this stuff. I go, wow. Like everybody, it's just like everybody here just hanging out in the feast. You're doing your whatever. And all of a sudden in the middle or somewhere, Jesus would just stand up and start crying out. Anyone who believes in me, as the scripture, he cried out, guys. And everybody's like, right? Whatever he was saying must be really important to Jesus, right? He says, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Now watch. Kind of sounds like John 4, right? He who believes in me, as the scripture has said. That's important. He who believes in me, who do men say that I am? Well, who do you say that I am? I saw a testimony when I was saved for a few years of a minister who prayed for this witch lady caught up in witchcraft, and she got delivered, and all her little disciples got delivered in the meeting. And she said, I cannot defeat your Jesus, so I will bow to him. And watch. I was watching it and I was weeping. It was so powerful. And the Lord spoke to me and said, what about your Jesus? There's a whole lot of Jesuses out there. Holy Spirit said, what about your Jesus? Not to condemn me, to make me hungry and keep me searching. I rolled off my couch on the floor and cried and sought him, and he ministered to me, and it was awesome. Yeah? Because I realized that for this lady to come boldly into the meeting all dressed and garbed out, she realized everybody's afraid of her, they're freaked out, they're distracted, why worship's going on, they're looking, wondering what she's doing. And I realized that she had been messing up Christians for a long time, and she had built a confidence and an arrogance because she didn't bump into a Jesus that was greater than what she was. Until that day, she ran into that fella and she said, I can't defeat your Jesus, so I'll bow to him. Yeah. He who believes in me, as the scriptures has said, not circumstances, not common knowledge, not other men's opinions, scriptures, Jesus, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Kind of sounds like John 4, drink of me, never thirst again. But if you believe in me, as the scriptures say, out of your heart flows. Does that sound different than a fountain springing up into everlasting life? Two different experiences. Fountain springing up into everlasting life. Born again experience. Believing as the scriptures say, filled and fueled by his spirit to be a witness, and out of your belly. Power and love conference. How do you know that's true, Dan? Just read the next line. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, who those believing in him would receive. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because he was not yet glorified. He says in Romans 8, he predestined you. Who he predestined, he called. Who he called, he justified. Who he justified, he glorified. Let's talk about you. Not in a haughty, arrogant way, by filling you with the same spirit that raised him from the dead. Yeah? Oh my goodness. Okay, so in John 20, we preached it yesterday. He breathed on the disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you think they received Holy Spirit? If he said that? What they received? They got born again. I explained it yesterday. His blood speaking better things. His blood's on the mercy seat. That was their born again experience. The Redeemer, Jesus, brought man back to day one as God breathed into Adam. That breath was lost through sin. Jesus restored that breath through his cross and resurrection. And Jesus himself was the second breath of God back into man, last Adam. Whew, right? And all of a sudden, man becomes a living being, because until that day, he was just a form and a shadow of what he was created to be, and he was actually dead spiritually. And all of a sudden, he became a living soul. Why? Because that's how God made man. That's where Jesus restored man, back to the breath of God, and in that breath is all that God is. You guys get that? Receive Holy Spirit. So what happened? They got born again. Life came back inside of them. But it's amazing, because in the end of chapter of Luke, if you look at the last chapter of Luke, let's just look here. I can read it for you quick. Thank you, Lord. Okay. He says in verse 48, and you of Luke 24, and you are witnesses of these things. He's just talking to him about why he came. There's so much here, I have to be careful. I'll just preach like, there's just so much here. But I'm trying to talk to you, Holy Spirit, because I am so tempted to read 46, but I'm going to read 48. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued with power on high. You guys with me? So in John 20, he breathed on them and said, receive Holy Spirit. In Luke 24, he said, hey guys, hang out in Jerusalem and tarry there till you're endued with power. Let's go to Acts chapter 1 real quick. Verse 4, and being assembled together, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem. This is just another account, a fuller account of when he was with them after the resurrection. You guys with me? And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. Is that what we just read in Luke 24? So it's right there. Luke has this revelation. This is awesome. Which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Wait a minute, Jesus. You already breathed on us and said, receive Holy Spirit. And now you're telling me to hang out and wait because Holy Spirit's coming. You already said he came. No, he didn't. He said, receive Holy Spirit, a recreated spirit. They were reborn from above, refathered. They were back in the family. They were light, not dark. Now there's something different coming. You better hang around because God has something else coming. He's the person of Holy Spirit. You're going to be immersed in him. You're going to be dipped into him, and you're going to become one with him, and he's going to empower you, and you're going to be my witness. And if you believe, as the scriptures are saying, out of your heart or belly, some translations say, will flow rivers of living water. This he spoke of the Spirit. Okay? Now watch this. Watch this. Acts 2, we know he came, right? Fire on their heads, right? They're all praying in tongues. People thinking they're drunk. You guys know the story, right? Okay, so I'm not even going to camp there anymore because we know he came, right? Go to Acts 8 with me. Just do a little stroll through the Bible and just showing you some cool things. Okay, verse 14 of Acts 8. Who's ever heard people say, well, you get the Holy Spirit when you're born again? Who's ever heard people say that? Who's heard preachers say that? Well, they're true in the sense of a recreated spirit. Receive Holy Spirit. Boom, that's what you get when you're born again. But what about tarry in the city and not many days from now, Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. You'll be endued with power. And watch this. Luke 11:13. If you, being of evil nature, know how to good give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them who... Why do you ask if he's automatic? Oh, I'm going to nail this down so good. Come on. See, we just speak so quick. But if you believe in me as the... So you see, well, you get the Holy Spirit when you're born again. Wait a minute. But what about what scriptures say? Why would you ask God for Holy Spirit if he already came and already comes? Acts 8. Verse 14. Now when the apostles were at Jerusalem and heard that Samaria had received the word of God, remember Philip went there? Remember there was great things that happened and signs, wonders, and all of a sudden Samaria believed and the whole city got born again. You guys aware of that? Okay, so now watch. So who knows Peter and John are leaders in the church? Who knows they're apostles, right? They got word that Samaria had received the word of God. Woohoo! Now watch. And when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive Holy Spirit, for as of yet he had fallen upon none of them. They had only, not meaning less significant, it means just only got partial of what God wants to give. It doesn't mean it's less important. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What's that mean? They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They got water baptized. But Holy Spirit hadn't come upon any of them yet. It must be so important to receive Holy Spirit that Peter and John, if you look at the geography, walked approximately 35 to 50 miles or rode a donkey or something to get to Samaria. That's a journey. They didn't jump in a car and go 65. They said, Samaria's received the word of God? They didn't say, that cut off nation, a bunch of dogs. Samaria's received the word of God? Have they received Holy Spirit? Not that we can tell as of yet. I mean, we got to go. John. Peter, I'm with you. Let's go. 35 to 50 miles. They took off to lay hands on him because as of yet he had come upon. Well, if he's automatic with your salvation experience, why is this here? When, verse 17, they laid hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. Now here's where people, look, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of hands, the apostles' hands, Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, and you guys know that story. It doesn't say how he knew he came, but he saw something. The only manifestation that's really mentioned in the Bible is other tongues. And then people get real tonguey with their teaching, and other people get real freaked out. How do I know it's God? How do I know it's the devil? Blah, blah, blah. And it's all about tongues instead of all about receiving him. There's so many people that have hesitated to be prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit because they're unsure about the whole other tongues and things. Here's the deal. How much more the Father will give the Holy Spirit to them that... So if you ask, is he coming?
Yay.
So there's people that say, well, if you didn't pray in tongues, you didn't receive the Holy Spirit. Listen, I believe we can all pray in tongues. I believe that grace is in the person of the Holy Spirit. I believe he wants us all to. I believe tonight, if you've never prayed in tongues, never received the Holy Spirit, you come up here, he's coming, and you can pray in tongues. I believe there's that liberty. We're going to have that freedom and that fun. But if somebody doesn't pray in other tongues, is it scriptural to say you didn't receive the Holy Spirit? So how do you receive him? The same way you live your life, by faith. We always make it a manifestation. We think you have to shake and cry. So there's countless people out there living condemned in their mind because they think they're not fit, they're not worthy, they're not clean, and they've been prayed for, and they didn't pray in tongues, so they feel like Holy Spirit doesn't want to live in them. And it's wrong teaching, because look what it produces. Not life and life more abundantly. My pastor's wife was baptized in the Holy Spirit at a meeting, and then she went 3 months and never prayed in tongues because she had some wrong teaching about tongues, and she was in a Pentecostal charismatic type service that was really wild one night, and she saw people saying, just pray yabba dabba doo backwards real fast, and she got weirded out and said, oh my. So she left the meeting and said, you know what? I don't receive that, but I receive you. And I believe you're in me, and I believe you're empowering me to shine and be a witness, and I believe you're going to help me and speak truth to me and reveal Christ to me and glorify him through me. I believe you're my helper. So for 3 months, she talked to him and communed with him and woke up and had fellowship with the person of Holy Spirit, never prayed in tongues. She got a phone call from her husband out of town. He was distraught and crying. She's never seen him cry. He's not that kind of man. He was overwhelmed. He broke and cried on the phone. Her heart as a wife broke for him. She had to hang up. He had to hang up abruptly. She hung up. And imagine how you are emotionally then. That's your hubby. You're young. Oh, my husband. He's crying. You can't communicate. She's pacing the floor. She doesn't know what to do. She kneels at the couch and hush. He was there in that language, was there the whole time. Her soul was But when she got in that place and wasn't thinking about it and didn't know what to do and got overwhelmed and went to cry and pray with all her heart and had no words, guess what happened? It's just beautiful to me. So watch this. Watch this. That's Acts 8. Acts 10. You guys want to go there real quick? We're just scrolling through. I'm almost done. I'm actually almost done. This is awesome. That's hard to believe. Who said amen? I just realized somebody said amen with authority. They're like, amen, brother. I'm in unbelief right now. Here I am, a preacher manifesting unbelief in the people. Oh, my goodness. So, I can't believe you're finished. Verse 44 of Acts 10. It's still yet to be seen that I'm finished. Well, see, Peter was still speaking. Why, Peter was still speaking. He's still speaking. I mean, the guy spoke with a lot of words in Acts 2, man. He went on and on and on. Good results, though. While Peter was still speaking, you encourage me, Peter. I'm really messing up, ain't I? Who knows he's at Cornelius' household? Who knows Cornelius is considered a Gentile? Who knows that he's not considered... Yeah? You guys get it? You know the story? The vision came to Peter. Vision came to Cornelius. Or actually, Cornelius had a visitation. And Peter ends up at Cornelius' house because of all that. Who orchestrated that? The Lord. While Peter was still speaking to the people of Cornelius' household, look what happened. The Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those who were of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God, and Peter answered. Watch what he was thinking right away. Man, these guys got to be born again. Holy Spirit's just come on them. He's empowered them. The same thing that happened to us in Acts 2 just happened to them. Whoa, Gentiles. Wow. So Peter says, can anyone forbid them water that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them all to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And they asked him to stay a few days. So what happened? Holy Spirit came, baptized him, empowered him to be a witness. Peter recognized it and said, hey, I ain't fighting over this. God's prepared my heart that he wanted to save the Gentiles and Cornelius' household. Man, we're going to baptize them in water as a sign of transformation. These guys are born again. Isn't that awesome? So in Samaria, they got saved and got baptized, but Holy Spirit came upon none of them yet. In Acts 10, Peter's speaking, Holy Spirit comes. But there's a scripture that says, how much more will the Father give Holy Spirit to them that ask, right? Oh, let me do this real, real, real quick. Maybe I can do this quick. No, okay. Last place. Want to go to one more place, okay? Acts 19, this is really good. This is going to nail it down, okay? And then we're just going to ask him to come. And you know he wants to, don't you? You know why he wants to? Because he loves us. He wants to empower us. He wants to live in us. This is what the gospel taught me. I was in my bedroom and I realized, see, you can't share this stuff when you're young in the Lord. Sometimes you think people are going to look at you cockeyed and call you a heretic. But I realized I was a house fit for a king my whole life and never knew it. I was predestined for destiny. Like, he paid a high price to obtain me. And I'm in my room thinking about this, and Holy Spirit said, Jesus didn't die on the cross to expose your sin. He died on the cross to remove your sin and expose your value to him. No preacher in my life ever told me that. Everybody always told me he died because I'm a sinner. Well, he had to die because I sinned, but do you think he died because I'm a sinner? No, he died because I was a lost son and I have a destiny. It's all about purpose and future and legacy. Who pays a high price for nothing? And he shed the blood of his son to obtain me. And he believes the price is well worth the purchased possession. He doesn't want to live with a house made with hands. When Todd said, I heard Dan years ago say, you know, God could live anywhere. What I say is he could live in a castle in the sky. He could sit it right in the sky because he's God. He could do it. The most massive mansion castle you've ever seen in your life. And the north, south, and east, and west could see it all at the same time if he wanted to. Right? And you could get up out of your house with your kids and they could be going to school looking at that thing and you say, that's where God lives. Whoa. But he doesn't want to do that. He wants to live in you. So that people look at you and go, whoa. Yeah? He paid a pretty serious price to move inside of you. If I'm reading my Bible right, sin evicted him from his home. And he paid a price and dealt with the problem and moved back in. And made all things new. Tore out the whole inside of that thing and put all new inside. Yeah? Yeah? Okay, Acts 19, y'all ready? It happened while Apollos was at Corinth, and Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. How do you know they were disciples? If you read the story, you'll realize it was their dress code, their attire, whatever they were wearing, revealed to Paul they were followers of something. Okay? So he believed they were following, and he believed they were Christians. Now, this is fascinating to me. Coming to Ephesus and finding some disciples, he said to them, it's so random. It like seems like, what? He didn't like say, hey guys, where are you heading? Hey guys, how you doing? Hey guys, there's a meeting over. I'm going to be meeting over. You guys want to? Look what he said. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Well, Paul, I wish you'd get a revelation. You get the Holy Spirit when you get born again. Hello. Paul needs some understanding. He probably needs to study the word that he wrote, huh? Come on, man. Paul's most important thought when he saw disciples was to make sure they've been empowered and endued to be a witness. And he's like, hey, he realizes they're believers. And he says, hey, have you received Holy Spirit since you believe? Guys, if he's automatic, why is Paul asking the question? Is the word too cool or what? Like, it freaks me out that we fight over doctrine in the Word. I'm thinking we just don't read our Bibles from a pure heart. We read our Bibles to prove and disprove. So we think we see what we see. If you read your Bible to know Him, period, guess what will happen? If you read your Bible to disprove something or to hold on to something you're trying to prove, guess what you'll think you see? Whatever you need to. You can read your Bible to get out of a relationship. You can read your Bible to get out of a marriage, and you're sure you're finding Scripture. I'm just saying. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believe? So guess what they said? We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? What were you immersed into? What have you become one with? What are you guys following? What are you baptized into? So they said, into John's baptism. He goes, oh my goodness, this is awesome. Okay, listen, John indeed baptized with the baptism of repentance. Prepare the way for the one to come. Okay, guys. Literally, this is what he's saying. Guys. He already came. His name's Jesus. Like, come on, man. Where were you guys at? He just crucified, raised from dead Jerusalem, you know? Saying that people should believe on him who would come after him, that is on Jesus Christ. When he explained that and said that, guess what they did? They heard this. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's water baptism. You agree? Watch this. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all. There's three examples. One, two, three. There's several examples of Holy Spirit. I don't want to misquote it and somebody say, you got the number wrong. People watch that stuff. It's amazing. If you'd listen for God instead of listen to correct and critique, you really would get some revelation. Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry. Did I say that, Tom? Is there any way to get that off the... No? Okay. So then I guess I meant it. Okay. Listen, please, please. We've saw several incidences that I read where hands were laid on to receive the Holy Spirit, and in Acts 2 and Acts 10, he just came. So does hands have to be laid on you to receive Holy Spirit? Can he just come? I know people that I worked with that were taught their whole life, he's not for today, other tongues is of the devil, but my life broke them down. And one man came crying and said, I've been a Christian for 25 years. I've lived around you being a Christian at work, just at work for the last year, and I feel like I'm not even saved. I feel like I have just religion, and I don't even know God. You walk with him. That's what he said. And I said, well, hey, man, listen. And I began to share, because before that, he was the mature Christian because he saved all those years, and I'm just the baby Christian. I'm overzealous. I don't know what I'm talking about. I'll calm down. Life will catch up. I guess he was wrong. I'm more freaked out now than I was then. Like, I'm 21 years into this thing, and I know I'm getting worse. I'm not making an excuse for it. I'm getting worse. Why? Because I know him a little more now than I did then. And it's good tidings of great joy, and I'll never let life speak louder than truth. Truth makes me free. So if you ever see me again, I'll be like this. Irregardless, I'll be like this, or... a little worse. Why? Because I might know him a little bit more. Have I always been like this? Yeah? You've known me for what? 8, 10 years? Yeah. I got people at home that know me for the whole 21. You know what I'm known for at home? Consistency. And what you see is what you get. And Dan's always going to have his heart in the Lord. People see me as a man of God. Why? Because that's what I've lived for 21 years, and it marks hearts, and then it gives you a voice, and people respect that. Because you're not preaching at them. Jesus didn't preach at us. He lived the life. God didn't come with a sermon. He came with a sermon in the flesh. He didn't come and preach at you. He sent his son to live it before you. There's not one thing Jesus is asking of us that he didn't model, walk out, and fulfill. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He didn't just preach to you to love your enemies. He showed you what that looks like. He didn't just tell you to be merciful. He showed you what it looks like. Are you with me? So would you say that Holy Spirit is a separate experience from a born-again experience? Would you receive, just through the couple examples I gave you, that there's an experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You'll be baptized not many days from now when the Holy Spirit, you'll be empowered to be a witness. Would you agree? So is other tongues mentioned there at a couple places? Isn't it part of the experience? Absolutely. Is other tongues awesome? I think it is. Corinthians 14 says, if I pray in another tongue, my spirit prayeth. And he who prays in another tongue edifies himself and speaks mysteries to God. I don't know, but some about that sounds really cool. Watch. If I pray in a tongue, another tongue, who does the praying? I do the praying. He doesn't take your mouth and go, if I pray, he gives you the utterance. You pray. I could pray in tongues. What'd you just say, Dan? I'm just demonstrating to you that the Holy Spirit's in me and I can pray in tongues and I edify myself and speak mysteries to God. I'm not interrupting a service. It doesn't need interpreted. I'm not putting on a level of prophecy. I'm just doing that when I'm driving in my truck. Holy Spirit, I appreciate you. Lord Jesus, I love you. Thank you, God. Now keep your eyes open when you're driving. Thank you, God. I just worship you and appreciate you. You're amazing to me. Jesus, you're the Holy One. And all of a sudden, you can just go on for an hour like that. And you're where you're going, and you think you just started, and you're there, and you're like, whoa. I'm serious. Could you imagine just waking up in your bedroom in the morning? Lord Jesus, I worship you. You're the lover of my soul. You're the one that makes me strong. You're the one that made me whole. You are mighty God. And all of a sudden you're going in the bathroom and you're very aware you're born again. And you're like not thinking, well, another day at the grindstone, man. I hope Billy ain't acting like a jerk. God, I wish you'd knock him off his high horse and bless me for once. Are we doing all right? Can you turn on that piano again for me, guys? Is that okay? Or is that not possible? Is it? Awesome. Thank you. I saw a hand go up in the glare. You guys are walking in the glory, man. You ought to see what it looks like around you. All of you. Turn your eyes to him right now. Turn your heart to him. Please just start to thank God from your heart very humbly. Because we're laughing. We're having fun. It's not irreverent. God just doesn't want anybody pressured tonight. So we just laugh our way through some real serious things sometimes. But I'm telling you, thank God for the gospel right now, would you? Begin to thank him in a very personal way that he died for you. Don't just right now. It's not selfish. You got to receive the gospel for you to become the best you're called to be. Don't say thank you, gave the gospel for us, you died for us. Get personal. You gave your life for me. And you want your life inside of me. And this whole weekend, I've been hearing this message. I've been hearing truth. I've been getting to go love on people and begin to grow and exercise a life in the Spirit. And Father, I want everything that you have for me. I want everything there is. I appreciate you. I appreciate your love. And I believe, Holy Spirit, wants to come upon me and empower me. Come on, you talk to him like that right now. If you're already filled with the Holy Spirit, you already pray in tongues, you've already been aware of the baptism of the Holy Spirit in your life, you can still talk like that and thank him. I do it often. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you've never prayed in tongues, you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, either or, you feel like, well, I baptized in the Holy Spirit, I believe it, I've just never prayed in tongues, or you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you've never had anyone lay hands on you, or you've never asked for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, please get up front here and pile up here real quick. Please. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. Tom, this is awesome. It's a lot of folks, man. Come on up. Just lift your hands to him. Lift your hearts to him. You've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Come on up here. Don't be afraid. Be excited. Some of you might even just feel the love of God and feel like crying. It's okay. But just come to him right now. Come on, pile in here. All of you? Whoa, no wonder he spoke to me coming down the stairs. He's going to endue you with power to be a witness, guys. He loves you. He wants you. Come on, pile in here. I need you to get in as close as you can. Come up the middle aisle. Lifestyle Christianity people, staff, I want you to come around the back and just begin to believe with me. We're going to pray for these people. Holy Spirit will do it. I just want you to just make contact. Just cover the crowd right now. Yeah. Look to Him. Get your eyes off your neighbor right now. This is you and Holy Spirit. This is you and the Father. Remember Luke 11:13? How much more will the Father give Holy Spirit to who? To them that ask. Is that why you ran up here? Let's look to Him right now. Say, Holy Spirit, I want You to come upon me, to empower me, to baptize me in who You are. Empower my life and make me look like Jesus. Make me look like the Father. Make me look like love. Now let's ask the Father. Say, Father, I'm asking You to baptize me and empower me and make me a witness through the person of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, I welcome You. I'm just going to pray over you. Holy Spirit, I ask You to come right now. That's right. Come, Holy Spirit, fill these people. Baptize them right now. Thank You. Fill them right now. Holy Spirit, come. Thank You. Thank You. Just thank Him right now for coming. Just receive Him right now. Just believe He's come right now. If you have that language, just begin to pray it out aggressive and loud and let that roll over on everybody else. Go ahead. Pray out loud. Come on. That's good. Pray it out. It'll be your own language. That's awesome. Come on. Yeah, Holy Spirit, come. Lifestyle Christianity, just start touching some folks. Let's just believe God right now that everybody gets filled and immersed and flooded with Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, thank You. More, Lord. More, Lord. More, Lord. If you haven't prayed in tongues, believe He's here. Thank Him that He's in you. Believe He's on you. And then ask Him to open up your tongue. Just ask Him to give you utterance. It's not wrong. Ask Him to give you utterance. As soon as you hear those words, don't question them. Don't let doubt. Just talk them out. Pray them and watch it grow like a river. Come on. Yeah, God. Holy Spirit, come. That's right. Flood them. Fill them. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. Keep praying, man. That's good. Pray it out. That's good, man. Pray it out. Turn around. Walk around. Just start touching some folks and thanking Him He's coming. Pray in the Spirit. Come on. We receive You, Holy Spirit. Empower us. Thank You. You guys in your chairs, if you're not already standing, stand up. We're going to ask the fire of God to empower us and to burn in our hearts and to mark us. Amen? Father, come and baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. Fire of God, come in this house and mark our hearts forever. Burn in us tonight where there's no going back, no looking back. No more fear of man. No more yesterday's hesitation. Fire of God, come in this house and burn us for Your glory. Yes, God. Fire of God, thank You. Burn us, God, for Your glory. Come on, guys. Thank Him for His fire. Thank Him that He's marking your heart forever. No compromise, no second guessing, no more looking back. Man, I keep hearing that. No more looking back. Burn us holy and pure and righteous, God. Yeah. Fire of God, come in this house. Thank You. Fire of heaven, come. Thank You. Mark us, burn in us. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. Holy Spirit, we welcome You. The people that are up front here that came for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, say this out of your heart, whisper it out loud. Holy Spirit, I welcome You. I believe You're in me. I know You're with me. You'll never leave me. I'm never alone. You're with me. You're in me. And you'll flow through me. I'm going to see clearer than ever before because of you. You're going to take everything to another level in my life. In fact, Holy Spirit, I'm marking this night as a night of increase and change. I'm going to see in Scripture what I've never seen before. And I know in my heart, my life is going to look more and more like Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I welcome you. Amen. Amen. Come on. Talk to Him every day. Talk to Holy Spirit every day. Commune with Him. Ask Him for wisdom. Read your Bible and ask questions. Commune with Him. If you didn't pray in tongues up here, don't you believe a lie. Go to your home. Go to your bedroom. Go to your car. Thank Him He's in you. Thank Him that language is there. And you begin to talk in the English, sing in English, thank God, and you believe for Him to give you that utterance, and you pray that out. I've had people come to altars like this. They go to bed at night. They're focusing on other tongues, so their mind's a little caught up, and they're like, man, I don't know, oh, man. They'll go to sleep, and God has them in that place of just, you know what I mean? Rest. I've had this so many testimonies like this. They wake up in the night, and the words are just flooding their heart. And they just lay in their bed, shake and cry and pray in other tongues for like an hour. Yeah? When you go to bed tonight, if you didn't pray in tongues, you believe you've received when you ask. And you thank Him for that language. I heard a bunch of you praying in tongues. That was fun. And I asked you to just go around and touch. I heard a bunch of you. But don't you believe a lie. And don't believe somebody says, well, if you didn't pray in tongues, man, you didn't get nothing. How much more the Father... Give the Holy Spirit. The soul's an amazing thing, man. You get focused on something here and it hinders something here. Don't believe that. You live by faith. You commune with Him. You receive Him. You go to bed at night. I'm telling you, I'm believing this, actually. I never said this in a service. I'm believing He's going to disrupt some sleep tonight. I am. I'm believing it. But it's not going to make you tired in the morning, believe me. I got saved on a Sunday night. I woke up Monday morning crying and praying in tongues and had no clue what was going on, but I knew it was Him. And look at that. It's still on me after all these years. Come on, let's give Him a shout. Yeah! Yeah! Do you... Okay, guys, this is our last night, but life goes on in Him, so it's lifestyle, right? But I want to do one more thing, and I want you guys to help me, because this whole week of training and equipping, you're so ready. If you've even been prayed for every session, and you're still not seeing total change in your